everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year A, Ordinary 4. This is a week for reversing expectations in some well-known texts. In Micah 6, God takes Israel to court, seeking justice. Paul continues his logical flips in 1 Corinthians, and in Matthew, Jesus offers honor to the downtrodden. Something tells me some of this will preach. Let's see if our illustrations will help pave the way.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary and use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. If you'd like to, you can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year A, fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, is from Prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This is probably really well known when you get to the last few verses. Prior to that, it is God calling to the people of Israel to rise and to plead their case in front of the mountains and let the hills hear their voices. Essentially, he is calling nature to be the jury in the courtroom where God is bringing a lawsuit against the people. So, there. And then it's the first couple of verses where that's being set up are kind of surprising. And then verses 3, 4, and 5 is God presenting God's argument. And then 6 and 7 are the people's response to God's suit. And verse 8 is the prophet's response to the people as to what the penalty or fine will be. The primary expressed intelligence, this is something that David and I have been looking for in each of the passages. It's the one intelligence that seems to really be the most obvious of the eight of them. So if you're really strong in a particular intelligence, it's going to pop right out at you. So what we try to do with each of the texts for each Sunday is figure out what the primary expressed intelligence is that we think is for that particular text. And then once we have that, we start looking at the other intelligences to find ways into the text that make that pop for people who are strong in other intelligences. So for this week, I think the primary expressed intelligence is people. And David thinks...
But, I agree. I think it's people also.
Okay. Well, we're not actually going to talk about that, though, in this podcast. So if you want to know why we think people is a primary expressed intelligence, go read what we write in our show notes at www.morethanhearing.org. Otherwise, we have four things that we're going to present for you today for other intelligences. Math smart, we have an illustration. Body smart, we have illustration as special effect. Nature, we have illustration. And self, we have illustration and special effect. So we're going to get started off with math. Take it away, honey.
Okay. So the math smart here is also logic. And that seems to be what we're looking at in this particular instance. And actually, in all three texts this week, there are a lot of reversals. Mm-hmm. And this is a logical reversal text in some ways, because God is bringing this case against Israel, and it's pretty serious. Mm-hmm. And he's serious enough that God is calling all of nature, or at least the roots of the mountains, mm-hmm. you know, to bear
act
witness.
As jury. Mm-hmm.
And so then the people are confronted with their sin, and they say, oh, what am I going to do? What would appease God? And God says, just do what I told you. And
right.
You right. know, love justice. Walk humbly with your God. So it's like being brought into court on serious charges, and you know the feds have dragged you in, right?
Yeah, this is the FBI.
Yeah, and you're spending sleepless nights wondering how you're going to get out of it, or how you're going to find the assets to cover whatever penalties there's going to be, or I can't make it in jail, man. I can't go back. You know, and you're just wrestling with it, and
this is not a good time.
And you get in there, and the judge says, "We'll dismiss the case with 20 hours of community service, or something like that."
You know? Yeah.
Or
what?
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, a lifetime of community service. I don't know. I mean, it would be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It'd be more like that, I guess.
Yeah, for this particular passage. Definitely. Oh, nice twist there. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So there's this big buildup, and then the twist is act justly, which you're supposed to do anyway. And that's the penalty, is to live the way you're supposed to. So the twist is a little bit. This kind of works, but it put me in mind of one of the last scenes in A Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is dressing down Bob Cratchit on December 26th for being late, and Cratchit is just cowering, and therefore I'm going to raise your salary. And what? Yeah, so it's you know, that kind of turn.
Yep.
So there we go.
The and logical Patrick Stewart does that the best.
Oh, so good. Yep. So good. Yes. So that's the logical reverse.
So we have a couple things for Body Smart. At the beginning, when God tells the people to rise and to plead their case, and then as God goes through God's own case as to why he's bringing suit against the people, the idea is, well, what can we bring? How can we bow before the Lord? What sort of sacrifice can we make that's going to fit this crime? So we have rising, which is like being seen or taking a stand. And in African American churches, when someone feels the Spirit, they get up to their feet as a testimony to that experience. Mm. I remember being in an African American congregation one time, and people kept standing up, and I thought, oh, they're getting out to go to the bathroom, but they just stood up, and they just stood there, and I was like, what's going on? And then somebody explained that to me, and I was like, oh, that is so cool. Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
And then bowing is submitting, being willing to accept God's judgment. There are certain faiths that practice prostration, and it made me think of the Muslims, the way they pray. They put their foreheads on the ground. Another Body Smart illustration would be full body action, walking, full body action, governing our entire sphere of action. God wants the totality of all of society and all of us, but also the totality of our own actions to be in line with God's will. So rising, being present, being seen, pleading your case, testifying to the experience of feeling the Spirit, bowing, submitting, being willing to accept God's punishment or God's will for you, and then getting up and walking and moving out. So those are some illustrations you can use for Body Smart. For a special effect, as the service continues or in the next few weeks or as Lent is coming up, invite people to stand up when they feel something has really connected with them. Just do that. If that's too much physically or if it's too risky, oh, I'm going to be standing up, have them raise their hands, or if that's even too much, just turn their palms upright on their laps. And if people feel as though they need to accept a just word from God, have them bow their head, close their eyes, clasp their hands in front of their chest, that sort of thing. And then encourage people to really be aware of their walking this week as they move. Notice what's moving in their body and think about how it all needs to cooperate in order to get to where you're going. I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I've been having some pain in my hip. And so I've really noticed how walking can be a bit of a challenge sometimes. So encourage people to consider how walking is for them. Maybe some of them are having difficulty moving, and some maybe not. They just don't even think about it. But have them think about what effort goes into actually getting up and walking across the room and paying attention to that.
You could also demonstrate some walking, different ways of walking, emotional ways of walking. It calls us to walk humbly, but how else could you walk?
Good.
Silly walks. Okay, so for Nature Smart, again, the idea of the earth being called as the jury for Israel's defense, to hear Israel's defense in this lawsuit. And so how would it be for us, and if we think about our spiritual lives and our relationship with God, how would the physical earth serve as jury for the church today, perhaps, or for your congregation, or for you sitting in the pews right there, you? What would the earth have to say about you? And how well have we treated the members of the jury? I mean, how, have we cared well for it? Or is it going to be a hostile jury to start with?
Yeah, the voir dire could be really interesting. The voir dire, that's the time, that's the jury selection when they have a pool of jury members.
Well, I don't
and
know
then
that
the lawyers work in tandem.
Yeah.
The defendants and the prosecutors, they say, we want that one, we want that. We challenge this one, we challenge that one.
Right, right, yes.
There's a certain number of automatic strikes, and then there's some negotiating that has to happen.
Right. So it's like that TV show Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's his specialty.
Yeah.
So anyway, these particular mountains that God is calling on, it's possible that it's Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, which were the mountains of testimony from Deuteronomy 11, when God is about to take them into the promised land. And he's said one of them gets the blessing and one of them gets the curses, and they'll both be right there. And if you do what's good, you get the blessing. And if you do what you don't, then what you're not supposed to, you get the curses. And so maybe those are the mountains God is calling on.
Hmm.
Then geographically, it refers in the text to Shittim and Gilgal. These are points on opposite sides of the Jordan River. Shittim is where Israel camped the last time before crossing the Jordan, and Gilgal is where they camped the first time after crossing it. So you might want to pull out a map or something to show folks that geography.
Cool. And then finally, for self-smart, who's going to win a lawsuit against God? I mean, seriously. The suggested compensation here in the text itself is one's firstborn. And that's kind of excessive. So maybe being told to live a just, kind, humble life, that's sort of counterintuitive, because you're ready, you know the Israelites in this particular passage, and we as people reading this, we know what we've done. We know the depth of what we've done, the seriousness of our offense. And so maybe giving the firstborn, giving up our future is what God is requiring of us. And yeah, it is, except it's not anything that we specifically need to sacrifice. God wants us. And God wants us to live a kind, just, humble life. So, what would it feel like to have to offer your firstborn or someone else that you love dearly in return for your sin? And what then does it feel like to know that God has offered God's own firstborn for your sin? So here's a question for special effect. Which is more difficult, giving up your children or your loved ones to God for your own sin, or living a just life? That could be an interesting discussion.
It could. Let's go on. The New Testament lesson for Year A, Ordinary 4, is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31. Paul is continuing into the meat of the letter here and addressing the Corinthians' infatuation with wisdom and knowledge and things like that. So he started last week talking about how, not so much wisdom. That's not what we're about. We're about the power of the cross. And here he just goes on to crush wisdom. with the foolishness of God.
Crushing your wisdom.
He quotes from Isaiah, where it says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. And then goes on to say, hey, who's wise anyway? Not you. And the ones who are called wise in the world, God has seen fit, since they couldn't use their wisdom for finding God. God has swept away their wisdom, and with foolishness in the cross, made a way for people to come to God. And so he says, well, foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So the primary expressed intelligence here is, I think it's got to do with the math logic again of this text, the reversals that happen here. And what do you think, Mo?
I think it could be found in self. And I'm going to try to explain that.
Okay.
At our show notes.
At the show notes, www.morethanhearing.org. Okay. For now, though, here we go. We've got iSmart and PeopleSmart and SelfSmart illustrations and special effects right the way along. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, iSmart, kind of have to dig for this one a little bit. There's this challenge that Paul is exhibiting to the Corinthians about human wisdom. There's a book out called Da Vinci's Ghost by Toby Lester, where he's talking about Da Vinci's very famous drawing of the Vitruvian Man. And if you've seen it, it's a guy that looks like he's doing jumping jacks in a circle in a square. We actually have a link to that if you could use as a special effect. But the illustration for it is, Lester says that the drawing is an intoxicating ephemeral moment when art, science, and philosophy all seem to be merging, and when it seemed possible that with their help, the individual human mind might actually be able to comprehend and depict the nature of everything. The Renaissance was a really exciting time. People were beginning to think way outside the box and beginning to recognize that the human individual has a great deal of autonomy and a great deal of power. And they were not just sheep anymore, that they had been following blindly after leaders that had been proven to be corrupt from time to time. So the Corinthians in Paul's time were all about this. And Paul is saying, whoa, cool your jets. And Da Vinci, when that time rolled around, was like, hey, you know what? We're not that bad. So there's kind of an ascendancy and a rediscovering of this idea of human beings being all that.
Humanism.
Exactly, exactly. And so it's a mindset it's even older than the Greeks themselves that were, you know, had given this understanding to the Corinthians. And it's even, it goes all the way back, actually really to the beginning of time, when a very creative lie destroyed paradise. So that's kind of an illustration, an eye illustration. You can use the Vitruvian Man to talk about a time, or times actually, when human beings have a tendency to get really full of ourselves. And God calls us back and says, wait a second.
Yeah. There's a book that follows that theme about the Renaissance versus the Reformation.
Mm.
And I think it's called How Shall We Then Live?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And it follows the logic of those two paths, the Renaissance and the Reformation, the humanism of the Renaissance and the theism of the Reformation. So just a little bonus material there. Okay. For PeopleSmart, Paul is arguing that the cross, the most foolish act of failure ever, is the source of God's wisdom. You know, that kind of thinking doesn't sit well with humans mostly. We don't care for losers. We like winners. And and this is saying that, no, the losers are actually the ones who are going to end up on top. So it's like losing the Super Bowl and getting blown out in the Super Bowl, and then you still get the ticker tape parade and the trophy in the ring. the human reaction to that, what? That's not fair. So for a special effect, gather your folks together and in small groups or in pairs, let them try to come up with a definition for wisdom that would take into account this passage. Why does Paul suggest that human wisdom is foolishness to God and vice versa? And so if that's true, then what is wisdom? See if folks can come up with a decent answer for that, and then take the answers and see where they go.
In Self-Smart, we're looking at this whole idea of the cross being the source of Paul's argument. And for the people who are hearing him, this is just dumb, because it's an instrument of torture. It's an instrument, or it's a method of state execution, essentially. It'd be sort of like walking into a church in our country, or anywhere else around the world, but particularly our country, and seeing an electric chair hung on the wall. It just really makes no sense whatsoever. It just, the cross itself has taken on a different meaning through two millennia, but for people then, it was recognized as a device of Roman torture. So think of some things that we would understand as being devices of torture, like waterboarding, or tasers, or handcuffs, barbed wire, the dread of federal courthouses, paparazzi, reality shows. That's all torturous. What things in our lives...
And humiliating.
And humiliating, absolutely. What things in our lives would we consider scandalous or instruments of debasement? So have folks think about that one. And then for a special effect, consider the shock of walking into a worship space and seeing a large object hung on the front of the wall depicting an aspect of common life that is used to humiliate, debase, or destroy other people. I mean, really, what would it be like to walk into a church and in place of the big cross up front, see it in electric chair? So what might this object be? Have people think about that. And why would it be so difficult to hear that God has used this device to bring God's wisdom into the world?
Let's go on.
Please.
On that cheery note.
The gospel lesson for year A, ordinary 4, is Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. This is the Beatitude, so I don't think I need to say too much more beyond that.
Blessed are they.
Blessed are they. There is one little bit in Word Smart about the choice of how to translate the word blessed. We ran across someone who said, in this particular culture, honor and shame was very important. And so using the word honored are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, might be an interesting way of getting into that. It's a little different, so that you kind of hear the real depth of these words of Jesus, as opposed to just, oh yeah, they're the Beatitudes again, or, you know, try to making them a sort of a spiritual cookbook kind of thing. So give that a thought as you are looking at that. We didn't actually talk too much about that, but that's an option.
Yeah, and you had mentioned that in the Luke version.
Right. Honored are, and then the woes that Jesus uses in Luke would be the shame part of it. Yeah. Yeah, but this is Matthew. He just goes with honor.
Right, yes.
What a nice guy. Anyway, so the primary expressed intelligence, as we see them in this particular passage, I think it's music. There's no specific place. It's just kind of the passage as a whole and sort of the I'll tell you in the show notes.
All right. I think it's self.
Okay.
And I'll tell you in the show notes about that. Okay.
Well, in the meantime, we have 4 of the smarts that we're going to look at. We have a special effect in math. We have illustrations and special effects in music. We have special effect in people and illustration in self. So we're going to go ahead and start out with math.
Okay. We're thinking about the power dynamics here that are implicit in the passage. And it kind of echoes the 1 Corinthians passage, actually, in that respect, because we've got all these folks who are basically without any power or authority, and they're the ones who are being honored or blessed. So A couple years ago, Molly and I wrote a Bible study for the Genon Youth Conference, and we took a look at the Beatitudes. So one of the things that we had the students doing was looking at those dynamics with some graphs. So starting off thinking about who are the people who are powerful in the world and making a list of those people, whether they're politicians or entertainers or athletes or whatever, business people, what have you. And then read the Beatitudes and compare that list with the list of people that you came up with, of the powerful people that you came up with. And what do you notice? And then draw a bar graph that would represent the worldly power of these different characters. So you might have a U.S. president, NFL lineman, the CEO of Apple, Superman, right? And they're all probably going to be pretty positive on that graph. And then a mourner, a person persecuted for righteousness, the poor in spirit, the meek, they're all going to be in negative territory there. So then thinking about that, those dynamics and what Jesus is saying about who gets blessed and honored, what would the graph look like in the kingdom of heaven? And in Bible study, you can get the students to hash this out. But as a preacher, you might
you need to do it yourself.
Yeah, you either invite some comment or you just do it yourself. Either they'll all come up at the same level, presumably positive in the kingdom, or perhaps the worldly power ones would end up negative in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And the persecuted and the grieving and the poor in spirit will end up as the positive ones. Hmm. So
again, that reversal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can also do it as a pie chart, where in worldly powers, they're going to get big chunks of the pie, and the mourners and meek get tiny little slivers. But in the kingdom, it's going to be a nice equal cut. We'll have some graphics for you that you can look at to see how that all works out on the show notes or on the worksheet here, and you can take it from there.
For Music Smart, we have some offerings, some anthems and hymns. Blessed Are You, Mark Hayes, and Blessed Are They by David Haas. We have a couple of different options for David Haas. The second one has hand motions for the chorus. So, hey, there's a Body Smart bonus. And again, as a hymn. So that's a, and there was actually some music for the Micah passage too. What does the Lord require of you? Yep. Which is pretty cool too. But for a special effect for music, you can do a choral reading of this particular passage. And we have one of those. It will be in the show notes. That is where you have more than one voice read the passage. And so we have a script for that. And David came up with a chant for this particular passage. And we'll have that. We'll have a sample of that in a little bit here.
Yeah, we'll try and maybe do that as a separate recording for you. Yep. A bonus episode. For People Smart, getting folks to take their reflections out into the church or out of the church and into the world here, ask them, how can you offer or extend Christ's blessings to people in your life this week, particularly those in some of the categories that Jesus was blessing in the Beatitudes? Hmm. What language might you use to carry blessing to them? And what body language might convey blessing to them? Will you get their permission to bless them first? Will you even let them know that you're trying to bless them? And what criteria might you use when deciding whom to bless?
And for Self-Smart, we're still going on with that idea of blessing. This is questions for you or for your congregation to think about individually. How does it feel to be blessed, to receive a blessing? What emotions are connected with it? And what physical sensations? That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or give us a tweet at morethanhearing, or you can email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions, or maybe you get an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would really love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship preparation.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so that you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and give you a spark. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too, and you can subscribe there directly. If you like the show, you can help us by writing a review at iTunes, as it helps other people find us more easily, and also by sharing the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.